WTLC AM Indianapolis.
Indy's choice for inspiration and praise.
AM 1310, The Light.
Welcome back to the second half of Acting News and Famous. I'm Amos Brown. Glad to have you here. We are out here in beautiful Pike Township at the headquarters of Tribune Broadcasting for Indiana. That is Fox 59 as well as CBS 4. And one of the things that I think for all of the TV station companies in town except Channel 13, they not only have to operate their TV station or stations here in Indianapolis, but they get to operate and punch the commercials and other things for other stations as part of that their company. And Tribune, you got a place in the basement, I understand, where you're actually inserting commercials and programs for several other stations other than the two you got, like you... Does Tribune just want to give you more work?
Well, I don't know how much more work we can handle, Amos, quite frankly. No, but you're absolutely right. This is a busy place. I mean, not only are we producing and airing more than 90 hours a week of local news, you're right. We do punch commercials for a few other television stations here in town. Not in town, but within the Tribune group. And we punch commercials for our station down in South Florida, for our station in Washington, D.C., and we've got a duopoly in New Orleans. And so our master control area, just across the hall from where we are right now, we've got a master control center in there where we're helping our sister stations in other markets punch commercials and make sure everything's running smoothly. And that's one of the other things we do in this business.
I could go down there and see an ad for a great restaurant in New Orleans just by accident.
Absolutely you could. Yeah.
But that is something that keeps jobs here or adds jobs in Indianapolis, and you guys do it. The Scripps that owns Channel 6 controls a number of their stations. Lynn, Media General, controls a number of their stations down at Channel 8, and that is just something that I was told that Indianapolis specializes in that because of the quality of the web and the quality of the Internet connections that we have here in this state, that infrastructure that has been built here.
Yes, and you know, one thing that I might like to just add, as far as jobs are concerned here, is that probably over the past 4 months, we created a number of jobs here in Central Indiana. Right, we added over 50 people to our news department, and about 15 to 20 people in other areas and other departments around the television station as well. So, you know what, Hoosiers are great people. I love the Hoosier spirit, and we've got good workers here in this state as well.
One of the things that local television stations don't do a good job of, you do a great job, the people that are on the air, their faces are on the website, their contact information is on the website so viewers can see, okay, the people that they see doing news, sports, and weather. And then a lot of times people don't see the men and women behind the scenes, particularly the minority community. As we were preparing for the broadcast, I kind of looked out there and it was a brother out there, kind of in his 40-something. I said, oh, you run the place? What do you do out here? He says, I'm the art director. And I said, okay, well, what does the art director do? And he says, I'm in charge of all the graphics, so the logos and the graphics, and if the news department needs a graphic to show how a car works, I put that together and all of that. A brother does all that? And then I said, are you doing extra work for the other station for the same money? He said, yeah, kind of, sort of. Why is it that TV stations, or should they do a better job letting the community know the diversity of the folks behind the camera, not just those in front? I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I think this is something the whole industry doesn't do a good job of.
Well, that's a very good question. And you know what? You're talking about Monroe does a nice job here for us, a real nice job. And he's had a lot of fun lately, too, because he's done everything from designing business cards to, you know, wrapping news trucks to T-shirts to, you know, the graphics day in and day out. Pardon me? Talent shoots. I mean, he's been very, very busy and instrumental to what we do here. You know, there are a lot of people behind the scenes that make television, right? I mean, we've got photographers, we've got editors. I was just having a conversation with one of our photogs today. You know, our news trucks are on the street for about 18 hours every single day. And to your point, people don't see that, right? They see Fanch and they see Bob, Debbie, Chris on the air, but they don't see everything that goes behind that. And we've got, you know, a lot of diversity behind the scenes as well, behind the cameras that we all don't see. And
We could do a better job of letting the community know about the folks behind the camera that make it work. You know, we've got directors, producers, salespeople, engineers, master control operators. There's a lot of people, accountants, right? There's a lot of people that make television.
239-1310, 239-1310. Kerry Cavanaugh, there are two major stories that are breaking today involving the same guy that happens to be the governor. Not locking you in as to what is going to be the first, second, or third story on the various newscasts. On a day like this where there are two huge stories, what determines what goes first, who goes first on which station, and how you handle what is a very busy news day?
It's all about what's happening right now. Just now breaking news with the governor saying that he's going to clarify his plan to create a news site. So that probably will...
He is backed up by 2 o'clock.
Yep, he is. He's backed up. He's backing off, saying he's going to give a little bit of clarification. So this just in, literally. But he, so that would probably be something that would trumpet. Breaking news and things that are happening right now always trumpet. But we always try to go at it from the sense of what has the wider appeal, what's going to impact our viewers the most. And certainly the decision and the announcement today on HIP 2.0, affects a lot of Hoosiers and is extremely important, and so that will play a big part of the top of the newscast.
In terms of a newscast, who makes decisions? How is that all put together? You're sitting in here with me, and everybody's looking at their internet except me, because I'm going to look at my internet a little bit differently, wanting to see, you know, who's getting ready to call me. But who, on a day like, on a particular newscast, whether it is morning, noon, afternoon, or evening, or night, on either station, how is that put together? Who does what?
Well, I have a great team of managers that are helping to run the day-to-day, and we actually have an assistant news director for each station. So CBS has their own assistant news director, and Fox 59 has their assistant news director. And they're in their day-to-day thinking about that particular station on any given moment, any given day. And then I have another level of managers that are working on the newscasts, executive producers that are overseeing newscasts. We have meetings throughout the day to talk about content, where things play. And then a lot of it falls on the shoulders of the producers. You know, I'm a big believer in that producers should take ownership of their newscast. They're the ones that are crafting it. They're putting it together. They're writing the stories for the anchors. And they really play a big role in how they want the news to look that day. And then they come to us, the managers, and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking. These are the ideas. And we talk about them. And sometimes the ideas are great, and then sometimes they're like, well, maybe we should try it this way. But we have a great dialogue and a great conversation that happens every day with everyone, that it's not one person dictating on high, myself, saying this is what we're going to do. It is really a group effort, and that's kind of the philosophy that I believe that helps a newsroom, is that everybody needs to be a part of the process, because that's what helps us to get the best product, the best story, and the best information out on the air.
When people go to the website, whether it's CBS4.com or Fox59.com, and they see the story, is that all? Are those words what was aired, whether it was spoken by the reporter or spoken by the anchor?
It's a different version. It tends to be the same information. The same interview will be in it, but the reporter and our web team will write a web design script that will be different from what was written for an on-air broadcasting script. So it is the same content, but just written in a little different way. The style is a little bit different. It's more of a newspaper type story, more of a blog type entry. Whereas on air, you know, you're talking 15, 20 seconds.
Given all these newscasts, 60 some odd hours on one station, 30 some odd hours on the other, is it the same story? So at 4 o'clock is one set of stories. If I tune in at 5, is it the same doggone story? If I tune in at 7, is it the same exact story? Is that one of the challenges you face, freshening everything up?
Oh, absolutely. We always face that challenge every day. And what our challenge is it may be the same type of story, but we give different elements in each hour. So you may get the nuts and bolts of here's the who, what, when, where, and why of a story, but at the next hour we're going to tell you another nugget that makes the story even bigger. And so that's a challenge that we have for our anchors, for our reporters, and our producers, and how can they take the same content, and this is especially true between Fox and CBS now more than ever, is how can you take that content and present it in a different way that speaks to the voice of each station.
When Kerry was mentioning the I won't say arguments, it looks like friendly creative discussions. Is that fair to say, Bob Donaldson, it's friendly creative discussions?
People would be amazed. People would be amazed if they walk into that newsroom and they see the debates that go on and the passion that everybody has about what we're doing. And, you know, you can tell we don't take ourselves very seriously. We laugh. But we take what we do very seriously. And so, yes, you are working with a bunch of type A people who all have very, very strong opinions about what we should be doing and how we should do it. And it is a very, very collaborative effort. But, boy, I mean, on a daily basis, there is a debate that goes on because of the passion that goes into the newscast. People are part of this community, and they know that the work that we do can make a difference on a daily basis. And so everybody brings it every single day. And so sometimes I sit back, and especially now, with the amount of people in that room and with two stations and the amount of reporters, it's incredible to see the energy and the passion of the people who are debating what goes into that newscast every single day.
Debbie, is it greater passion than you saw before? I'm not trying to put you on the spot because...
Let me give you an example just this week, and your viewers can hear this. I was sitting in one of these meetings, and I'm getting to know everybody, and I'm seeing how this operates, and I'm watching it, and I've watched it for a number of weeks now, so I know how it's going to go. And there was a moment where Kerry talked about her upper management folks who were in there, and they listened to all the story ideas, and they said, you know what? That's not good enough. I want another meeting in 20 minutes. So everybody left that room, very uneasy, but with the feeling that they had not reached the goal that management here wanted to reach in terms of the kinds of stories they wanted. And in 20 minutes, everybody went back in the room, and voila. What I saw was the push and the drive. And we're not going to settle. We're going to go after this. We can do better. And we're all working together as a team. So just what Bob described, what Kerry described, I mean, there is this debate. It's collegial, but it can be somewhat heated. People disagree, but it's the news business, and it's what makes you want to be in this. And to see how that all happened, I thought was fascinating, and I thought it was great how people, you know, came through and did better. You know, that's the real goal here: is do better, do your best.
Fanchon, how do you mix? Because Fox 59 over the years has tended to have younger folks, you know, on the staffs, many who have stayed here in Indianapolis and have made Indiana their home. But how do you balance those different ages, different perspectives, and keep it professional, keep it moving forward?
I think it's mentoring, and it's also setting a level of expectation that we want to represent a certain level of excellence and a certain standard of excellence in the community. So when a young person comes in to the Fox 59 team, they understand very clearly that they're coming into a family, first of all, and we're going to help each other. We're going to encourage each other. We're going to teach the younger ones how to go out and raise, forget the slogan, but raise their game. And Debbie talked about, you know, it's just not good enough. There is a certain level of expectation that we have of ourselves, but also of the staff as a whole. So when you talk about younger people coming onto the staff, we get the advantage of having fresh, new ideas. It's called the IY generation. You know, the IY generation is a very different group of young people. They have different expectations. They have different ways of communicating, and they have different ways of doing business. So for those of us who are more seasoned, we can take some of the advantages in terms of what they bring to the table, help them learn from our experience, and then, boy, do we have the synergy of what's new, what's happening, staying connected, staying in the now, staying in front of things, but also combining that with the experience of older people, some of us who have been in the business for a longer period of time, that can help them grow faster and become more of who they want to be themselves.
Now, See, Chris was awful quiet because we were talking about these discussions that happen over news, but then what happens? The snowstorm is coming, the ice is coming, the tornado is coming, and then the tension is, I can't do this in 5, or Brian can't do this in 6, I'm gonna need 10 to 15, because it's serious business.
We had a discussion like this last night, and we were looking at the snow on the East Coast, and everybody was telling you that New York was gonna have a historic snowfall. Brian and I looked at it and you said, you know what? The most they're going to get is 6 to 8 inches. There's no way they're going to get that much snow in New York City. The heaviest snow is going to fall farther north. That's our story and we're going to stick to it. And we let the national media and the New York folks, you know, create all the hullabaloo. And you look at it today, it's like, oh, they got a little over 6-7 inches of snow, which is what we thought. It's really good to have.
The other staffers say, wait a minute. You know, Brian, you don't live here. Chris, you don't live here. The guys in New York are saying that the governor shut the subways down and all this kind of stuff.
And we were sitting there going like, what are they talking about? What are they looking at that we don't have? Because what we're seeing is 6 to 8 inches and that's about what they got. Yep.
You know, I saw that this morning. And the streets look, were plowed.
They did.
That might be an investigative for 7 inches. How come Times Square is plowed and how come 10th Street, after 1 inch of snow isn't?
You know, I think what happened was because everybody got off the street last night, they were able to actually do a better job of plowing than they normally are when all the taxi cabs and all the traffic are out there and they're in the way when the snow plows guys are out there trying to do their job.
When it's bad weather and the Masters is on, who makes the call?
You know, that's a tough one. I tell you one thing I learned from my...
Wait, that goes over the general... Is that a general manager question?
One thing I learned from my father-in-law that's really interesting, he talked about how you have the crawl at the bottom of the screen. He said, when you have the crawl at the bottom of the screen during a golf tournament, I don't get to see the ball go in the cup. And I said, you know the ball went in the cup. He said, I don't get to see it. So we're looking at the possibility of running our crawl not only at the bottom of the screen, but at the top so that we can make sure that when we have an event on where we need the bottom of the screen to be visible to the viewer, they actually have that option. And that's one of the things that Brian and I have been working to come to an agreement on, different things we can do with different events. Doesn't matter so much with football where you do the crawl, but it certainly does with golf.
Is weather one of the challenges in terms of folks in central Indiana? This is serious business, but then the entertainment shows are serious business. Is that your call, or does Brian on Fox 59 and Chris on 4 have the ability to say, hey, I need the space, I need the air, we got to do something to alert our viewers?
It's a little bit of a combination. If we're in a life and death situation and there's a tornado warning in Marion County that's going to affect a lot of people, then you better believe we're going to be on the air because we want to make sure that people are safe and inform them and let them know what they need to do. And if we're in the middle of American Idol, then we'll figure out a way to do something different, so they don't miss American Idol and make it up. But, it's a conversation that, you know, Paul and I will have and Chris and Brian, they'll come to me and say, hey, listen, this is what we have. And we are in a world where we have to think about the entertainment shows and when we are in American Idol or we are.
You're not, yeah, cause if you try to mess with Empire, you're really gonna be in trouble.
You're gonna be in trouble. If you mess with Young and the Restless viewers or Price is Right viewers, you're gonna be in trouble. It's one of those things that it's a balancing act, you know, because we are here to serve the public and to keep them safe. And we've done things in the past where we've kept the football game up and had the radar and our meteorologists in a smaller box, so we're still giving the information, but you're not missing the football game. So there's little tricks that we can do, but it's certainly things that we have to take into consideration. But, you know, when it comes down to it, if it's a matter of public safety and we have to get out there and tell the viewer what is happening, we're gonna be there for them to make sure.
Speaking of Wednesday night at 9, Paul Rennie, how big a deal is Empire now?
Empire is a big deal. In fact, this morning on our morning news, we had some guests on our news that supplied a lot of the clothing for the show. You know, Fox needed a hit, and Empire has come out and done extremely well for us. And obviously, you know the show, you're familiar with the show, the hip hop music kind of Empire.
Hip hop meets Dynasty.
Yeah, well, they're very, very well said.
Well, it is very well done. And, you know, I watched a few of the episodes myself, and I think that this is one of the shows, one of the successes that Fox needed. And we have the opportunity at looking at the ratings, not just here in Indianapolis, but some of our sister markets. And that show is doing very, very well across the country. So we're excited that Empire's on the air and that it's doing as well as it's doing.
239-1310. 239-1310. We're at Fox 59, CBS 4, your opportunity to find out what's going on when we come back. We've not even talked about sports. So is sports must not be important over here. No? Sports? We'll talk sports, other stuff. We're at Fox 59, CBS 4, special edition of Afternoons with Amos tomorrow in our 1 p.m. hour. Lanier Eccles. Now talk about multitasking. She is, the interim principal at Carpe Diem, Charter School. That is that unique charter school that combines online learning, in-class learning, individualized lesson plans in the 2300 block of North Meridian Street. We'll talk to her about her day job, but then we'll also ask her some issues about her part-time job, and that is as a member of the IPS school board. And we'll ask her about some of these little rumblings that we're hearing about IPS in certain high schools and some mess that's going on. Jones is giving me this look like he's going to tell me about the mess during the break. I probably will. And then in our 2 o'clock hour, the folks from the state of Indiana will walk us through the Medicaid expansion. If you're just tuning in, the other story of the day involving the governor is the president and the Obama administration actually approved Governor Pence's idea for Medicaid expansion. Yes, they really did. And HIP 2.0 takes effect immediately. And there are a number of things. We'll talk about all of that in our 2 p.m. hour tomorrow. It's Afternoons with Amos from Fox 59 and CBS 4 after these.
Hello, this is Pam Hickman, City County Councilor at Large. And you're listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
239-1310. 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. Before the break, we kind of talked about sports, and they kind of all here, the folks at Fox 59 and CBS 4 kind of gave me this look because they were trying to remind me that, of course, Fox 59 is the home of the National Football Conference, NASCAR, the baseball, the World Series. What don't you all have? And then that's before CBS, which is the Masters, which is the Colts and the AFC, which is the final, which is NCAA championships, which I can't remember whether the Final Four is on CBS or whether it's on Turner this year, because they have that strange little deal.
Yeah, well, actually, this is this year will be on Turner and CBS, and we're fortunate to have the NCAA Final Four here in Indianapolis, which will be great, and on CBS4, so we're excited about that as well. So, yeah, absolutely, Amos. You know, we've got a lot of sports on Fox and on CBS, and in addition to that, we recently became the television broadcast partner of the Indianapolis Colts as well.
That means all those preseason games will be on CBS4?
Yes, either CBS4 or Fox 59, but we have the preseason games, some of the AFC games, usually about 2 NFC games featuring the Colts on Fox, but they also play, as we know, on Monday night on ESPN and on Sunday night as well. So lots of opportunities for football on both Fox 59 and CBS 4. And we share NASCAR, so we have some NASCAR on Fox 59.
So you all will be part of the Jeff Gordon farewell tour.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will.
You all orchestrated that too.
I don't want to say we orchestrated that. No, certainly not. That was, I think that was all Jeff's decision.
How important to a local television station is sports?
Sports is really important. You know, Amos, there are two things that I believe are really important to local television. Sports is one, and local sports, I think, is very important for local television as well. The other is news. We've spent a lot of time today talking about news, but news really kind of connects a television station with the community. And it's fun to go to a Colts game or a Pacers game. When you go there, you see the entire community surrounding the team and everybody pulling together. And we really enjoyed watching the Colts in January play 3 playoff games, right? As they kept winning, the city got more and more excited about what the Colts were doing. It wasn't a Sunday afternoon event. You know, they were giving away posters and placards at you know, at the Circle. We were doing stories pretty much every day on the Colts, both on CBS4 and on Fox 59, and it really brings the community together. There's a passion for sports that you don't often have for other programming.
Where does high school fit in?
High school is extremely important, and we have our high school football show that we do every Friday night on Fox 59, and some of that will continue on CBS4 coming up in the next fall. But high school is really important. We do our high school basketball show every Friday night as well, so we do our fair share of covering high school sports.
Is high school sports one of those things where the schools that may not be hot this year, you hear the complaints from, why don't you come to my school? Why don't you do that? And Chris is smiling. Some of that, I think, fits into IPS when people are comparing IPS from back in the day to where they are now with some of their teams. Is that part of the problem? Because I'm sure Lagodie wants to, you know, say, hey, we got a great team out there as well.
Yeah, it's one of those balancing acts where we have to cover the games that are happening, following the ones that are in the championship race. But we do have a big area that we cover, and unfortunately we just don't have enough people on the streets, to cover every single game and get every single score. But I would throw that back on our viewers and the listeners to say, listen, you know, we love scores. So, we may not be able to send a camera out to your game, but we certainly would love to be able to broadcast your score and send pictures, and we'll use them on the web. And so there's also lots of opportunities that even if we can't get a camera to cover your game, we want to hear about it, so let us know.
So wait a minute. So if John Marshall's basketball team is having a game, they could take the picture of what's going on at the game, they can tell you the score, and they can download it onto fox59.com or cbs4.com, and that's one way the community knows here's what John Marshall did.
Absolutely. Yes.
That brings us to the web. We talked before about the web. Is that also the mechanism, whether it's fox59.com or cbs4.com, for community calendar items? Somebody's doing, a church is doing a rummage sale, a lodge is doing this, a fraternal organization is doing that.
Yes, absolutely. We just actually updated our community calendar and have a very extensive community calendar. We're very proud of it. It's very interactive. It covers a wealth of events that are happening in the community. It's very easy for anyone to submit an event to put on the community calendar, and it's on both fox59.com and cbs4indy.com.
Is it that viewers have to understand the days of maybe waiting and 100 people submitted something to the community calendar, but only one got to be on the air where somebody said, and now the channel so-and-so community calendar says such and such. Instead of that one, all 100 get on the web, and then your guys and ladies are saying, go to the web and find out what the heck's going on in the community. There's 8,000 things going on.
Absolutely. The web plays a huge role in what we do every day, and it's another outlet for us to reach our communities and our viewers to let them know what's happening.
How far in advance? I don't think you all want somebody telling you about an event that's happening tomorrow to go on the community calendar.
No, if they could give us a couple days ahead of time, that would be great, because then that allows more time for the information to be out there so the attendance can be better.
What are the challenges now? I mean, you guys have got two major stations together. I think it's fair to say the entire television industry, not just your company, is looking at what happens here. Does that put you as the news director responsible for these 90 hours of, does that put extra pressure on you, or does that mean you get to go to all the news director conventions and give a presentation?
No, I get to sleep a lot is what it means. No, it's it's a good stress. It's I'm very blessed to be in the situation that I'm in and to have this opportunity to be in charge of two newsrooms at the same time and being a part of building an entire newsroom from scratch. So I'm extremely blessed to be in this position, and I certainly don't take it lightly. And I can't do this without my team. And you've spoken to Bob and Debbie and Fanchon and Chris and Paul, and we have a fantastic team here for both stations. And it's because of them we come to work with smiles on our faces every day. And every day is a new day, and we have challenges that we face, but it's a good group that we can roll up our sleeves and figure out how we're going to tackle them.
Does this put extra pressure on you as the general manager to have your peers in the industry looking and saying, what's that Paul Rennie going to be doing there in Indianapolis?
Well, this is a fun industry, and it's a good industry to be a part of. And Amos, I'm sure that you've enjoyed being in the broadcasting industry for a number of years, and you've been able to do some great things for the community being in this business. And, I think in this business, to do well, we've got to have passion, right? I mean, you've sat around the six of us here, and you see, and you've known Chris and Fanchon and Debbie and Bob for a number of years, and there's tremendous passion there. And in this business, it's not a 9-to-5 deal where you're punching a clock and you're walking out at the end of the day, right? I mean, you've got to be committed. And so it's a fun opportunity for all of us to be involved in something like this, because it is groundbreaking. And not that there aren't plenty of things to do and plenty of things to keep us busy if we were just Fox 59 and just doing 66 hours of news a week, right? But we're adding another 25 hours of news a week to that, and it has been interesting. We didn't have people to call and say, hey, you know what? How do you put together a newsroom with a CBS station and a Fox station, right? So there was a lot of innovation. We got creative. We had terrific support from our senior corporate team, and we've got a building full of passionate, hardworking employees that are committed to succeed. As Debbie was talking about before, right? I mean, we're doing well, but we could be doing better. And I think that you'll find that attitude is consistent throughout the television station. Is there pressure? Sure, there's pressure, right? We want to be a part of the community. And when we're a part of the community, they'll react by watching us more, and that helps everybody. But there is a little bit of pressure to make sure that not only on CBS that we deliver the audience and the ratings, but that we're able to maintain and grow on Fox 59 as well. So if all of our rating increases on CBS came from the Fox side of the house, that would be a bit of a challenge too.
Let me ask, in the moments we have remaining, we talked earlier about the two big stories that are today. One is the expansion of Medicaid, and that Governor Pence got what he wanted. The administration probably got what they wanted, which was an expansion of Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act. But the other story is one that, and it goes back to what Fanchon said, is news relating to the viewer, something the viewer understands. And that is a proposal, there was a story that was broken yesterday evening on the Star's website, and it's in the printed paper this morning, that the governor was going to use a former Indianapolis Star journalist to create a news bureau that would not just put out press releases about the administration, but also put actual written stories, profiles, exclusives. I've never heard of the state doing an exclusive. They didn't say television yet, but you never know. Well, let me ask the professional journalists that are here, because this is a story that I think has resonated with journalists and might not be one, Fanchon, that resonates with someone living in Greenfield or living in Butler Tarkington. Why is this maybe not the most important story of the day, but it's in there in that first section of a newscast, the A section?
I think because what it comes down to is, as a viewer, why do I care? It's our responsibility as a news organization to take that story that at home you may look at and say, well, that doesn't affect me, or that doesn't really matter to me. And for us to break it down and to help you see why, as a viewer, A, you should care about it, B, what this means in terms of how you get the news and information that's going to affect you and your family. So as we get more information about the news service, and now we're hearing that the governor has come up and maybe backed away a little bit, this is a developing story right now. So the viewer at home can count on us to take all the information that's coming in, to disseminate exactly what's happening, break it down and help you at home understand why is this important, what are the different variables that are going into this, and why maybe should you be looking at this, questioning this, excited about this, whatever that may be, and give you the information to make your decisions.
You're also going to be breaking down that the criticism of the proposal is coming from Republicans and Democrats. It's coming from people that live here in Indiana as well as folks outside the state.
And that's a very important point because it means we need to look at why are we seeing and hearing that criticism. What is that criticism based on? And obviously when you hear an announcement like this, there's much more to it than just the headline. So it's up to us to dig deeper and figure out, well, what else does this entail? What is the reason behind this? What is the motivation? What is going to be said? What's not being said? There's criticism coming from all over. As soon as that story broke, Twitter lit up. There's a reason why.
And that also influences it because it trended in social media here last night.
Absolutely. And we're watching all of those things. And with the resources that we have and the experience that we have, we can go to certain outlets and go to certain people and ask, well, what's going on? Why is this happening? What are we missing? You know, what is the person at home, the average viewer or listener, missing? What do they need to know? So that's where our role comes in.
And starting in an hour and 15 or 20 minutes on the 4 o'clock on Fox 59 News. Yeah, now Debbie Knox, she's been around a little bit. It almost seemed like those who have been in journalism a few years were maybe a little bit more upset about how it came about. Why is this story should be important to Hoosiers?
I am, and I think a lot of Hoosiers are naturally sort of suspicious, or at least we have questions, about a news service being run essentially by the government. You hear most of those things, you know, in connection with Vladimir Putin and North Korea and, you know, I really, and taxpayer dollars being paid for this. So I think I want to know more from the governor about what his plans are. He said he's already tweeting and it's out already that they want to clarify what all this is. We have lots of questions. I think the audience has lots of questions. So, you can bank on it that we're going to get to the bottom of it. What is all this going to mean to people and you and me, and how is it going to better anybody's lives, like Fanchon was saying?
Clarification, is this something where Kerry's producers need to be calling the governor's office and say, wait a minute now, is this going to be a press conference with everybody having at him, or does this need to be, he needs to do one-on-ones, he needs to come out here and walk between the CBS4 studio and the Fox 59 studio and let Hoosiers hear from him? Because it sounds like if he's backing away and there's a lot of questions, a press conference is one thing, but is this the kind of thing where he needs to look the camera in the eye and say, this is what's going on, this is what I had in mind, or this is what my staff had in mind?
Yes, he'd better do that. We're all demanding that. We're going to demand that as a news organization, and Kerry will make a call. She doesn't really have to, because I know people are all thinking the same thing. I mean, what is this all about, and what are the real political intentions of all this? I am just naturally curious, and I will tell you I'm a little bit naturally suspicious when politicians decide to do this sort of thing. This is very unusual. Like Fanchon said, this has been trending on Twitter. I've seen it on Politico, HuffPost, of course, our websites.
As well as conservative organizations. What is it? Accuracy in Media last night slammed it. When I saw that on Twitter, I'm going, wait a minute, that's his side of the street.
Yeah, it we all have the same basic questions. And I think he's starting to see that lots of people are going to be at this news conference wanting him to clarify exactly what this is going to be. I'm looking forward to that.
Bob, the governor was getting ready to have one of his most successful days ever as governor, with getting what he wanted from the Obama administration in terms of HIP 2.0. And now everybody's talking about this mess, and he's backing away publicly right after, I guess when he left Terre Haute, he started backing away.
Well, I think the questions that are going to be asked is how did we get to this point? Who was the one who, gave the governor this idea, which, quite frankly, I mean, we're all reporting on this. We are trying to be as fair as we can be. But this is obviously a very bad idea, and one that no one is supporting. And I think that the governor has made a mistake, and I think he's backing away from it now. And so the question becomes, who didn't raise their hand in the room and say, Governor, I think you're being given some bad advice.
Is the
give credit where credit is due. I mean, the Healthy Indiana Plan, I think the conventional wisdom was that he would never be able to negotiate something with the federal government. That was the conventional wisdom. Turns out he was, and he was able to succeed in a program that was very, very important to him. We will give credit where credit is due there and report on that just as aggressively as we will on one that obviously is something that the governor himself is backing away from and admitting that it was probably a mistake.
I know one of the things that they said in the briefing this morning, they issued a timeline of all of the conversations that the governor and the administration had over the HIP 2.0 and the Medicaid expansion. From October, right when the president came to Evansville, he met with the president. After that, he had conversations with the secretary of HHS 12 times, one in person, 11 times on the phone. Seemed to me, if you're talking to somebody 11 times on the phone, you're coming close to a deal.
Well, I mean, and it shows the priority that the governor and his staff put in this. And I think that his heart is definitely in the right place as far as providing coverage for Hoosiers who need it, providing a safety net. And again,
steps on it with all his other mess.
Well, I mean, it's been an interesting day for the governor. We'll put it that way.
The other question that listeners in the, and Central Indiana may have, a place like the White House, puts up press releases, they put up video, they put up audio, they put up photos of everything the president is doing. What's the difference in your mind between that and what the governor was proposing?
Well, I think some of it, it's more than semantics. I mean, when you're talking about a news service, and I think the governor did understand that. The statement that he put out was, I'm quoting,
just this afternoon.
Yeah, my understanding is that the website has become a source of controversy, was simply to have a one-stop shopping website for press releases and information. It was meant as a resource, not as a news source, and we'll be clarifying that in the days ahead. The governor's office and every political, the White House, everybody puts out press releases, but that's not what they called this. They said it was going to be a place for breaking news, for things. So it raised very troubling questions about content and about how they were going to be moving forward and dealing with the news media in an open way.
Especially allegedly saying that they would have exclusive stories. Exclusive means Fanchon gets it and Bob doesn't.
There were a lot of questions. And so, you know.
Or the reverse.
Right. And so, you know, there were many people who were wondering, well, how is this going to work? Does this mean that, you know, that's the only place where we're going to be able to get that type of information? And if that's the case, you know, are you going to run into legal issues? So it was something that I think probably wasn't thought through.
All right, 239-1310, 239-1310. We'll take a break. We'll be back with our remaining moments live from CBS 4 and Fox 59 because Fanchon got to go do the news. You doing the 4? The 5. Who does the... Wait a minute. Who does the 4 while you've been sitting here slumming with me?
Well, Aisha Husney and Ray Cortese. So I know you're just getting off the air, so you missed that show. Right.
I'm in traffic.
That's fair.
The government will not allow me to have a TV set in the front of the room. We'll be back with more after these.
Hello, my name is Jessica Key, staff writer with the Indianapolis Recorder newspaper and Indiana Minority Business Magazine. And when I want to stay informed, I always listen to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
We've been out here live in beautiful Pike Township. Yes, there's really two big television stations out here in Pike Township, CBS 4, Fox 59, or the reverse, Fox 59 and CBS 4. Paul Rennie, Vice President and General Manager, thank you. Very much for your generosity of your time, the generosity of your staff, in finally, you know, having our community find out, not only about Fox 59, but the new, kid in town in terms of, CBS 4, particularly with the television station with Channel 4, the oldest television station in this state at 66 years. And it just looks just like I was just born New Year's Day. And Fox 59, 31 years, and Kerry Cavanaugh, news director, and all the talent. Chris Wright for the sunshine. God and Chris, provided the good weather. Fanchon is getting ready to be on Fox 59 at 5, and several other times later, today, and then at 5, 6, and 11. I get confused and all this stuff. Debbie and Bob will be on CBS 4, and then Bob will be on Fox 59 at 10 o'clock. And if you want more information, you just go to fox59.com or cbs4.com. Guys, thanks very much. And then there's this guy named Bob, named after Bob has been, Bob St. Charles, and thank him and all the folks for putting all this together. Tomorrow, Lanier Eccles, she is the interim principal at the Carpe Diem Charter School. We'll find out about their unique way of education. We'll also ask her about her part-time job as a member of the IPS school board. And then in our 2 p.m. hour, folks from the state will be on the show to walk everybody through the transition of Medicare expansion. And one of the major changes is going to be, if you currently are an able-bodied person on Medicaid that does not have, and you're not on SSI, and you're able-bodied, and you're below the poverty level, you will be moved to the HIP plan, whether you like it or not. And we'll talk about all of that on the program tomorrow. We want to thank, again, Tribune Broadcasting, Indianapolis, for being here. I'm Amos Brown. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, 5 at 1.